Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American Daisies. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
What is going on? We wanted to do something a little bit special today. Well, I don't know if it's going to be really special. Hopefully, it's going to be different for sure. Hopefully, yes. It'll be special. This isn't completely new. We did this with our old version, Indian, American. So those of you that were listening should be relatively familiar with this. But this is our first State of the Podcast for American Daisies.
Catchy title, right? Huh? America? Yeah, huh? Yeah. Internet? You're loving it?
we've said from the jump that this podcast is not about us.
Right.
We wanted it very much to be about the community, but we're not going to ignore the fact that we are a part of this.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. I thought we were going somewhere else with that. My bad.
there could be a narcissistic element to that, and I'm sure, you know, we'd welcome that critique or thought. But what we wanted to do is just like, we wanted to take a moment for you guys to check in with each other, talk about what we've learned in the times of the interviews, why we started it, has that shifted in the 3 months since American Daisies launched April 20th. Can you believe that, man? It's been 3 months.
Oh, wow. God, yeah. We're going to die soon. This is terrible. Jesus, time is going so fast. My mom hears that, she's going to freak out. Let me take that back and knock on wood. I apologize.
Yeah, not going to want to avoid you, bro. But it's been 3 months, so we just want to check in and see what we want to do. But it's interesting that this 3 months kind of coincides with, for both of us, a fair amount of transition. I know I'm in a crazy amount of transition.
Things are going nuts for you.
When this drops, we're going to drop this on Wednesday. We're recording it on Tuesday. But I will be in the car driving up to Vancouver.
Yeah.
To start a new chapter of my career and of my life.
I was supposed to make this trip with you, man. I feel bad I couldn't be there for you to.
Nah, brother, but you, what are you doing?
I'm doing a TV show.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Would you say you're in transition?
I don't know. I will say this. We spoke briefly about this. I'm sure we've spoken about this. It was kind of crazy. I've said this before, but I was less happy. I was less happy in the last couple months than I was when I had nothing. Because the idea that you could lose everything stressed the hell out of me. And when I had nothing, it was like, whatever, I got nothing. And so I think the big thing I've been working on the last month or two is just being thankful for what I do have. I think there's this idea that you can't ever be happy. We interviewed someone who said it earlier. We're going to release that later, Neil Nunda. But he was like, hopefully I'm never happy. But I'm starting to realize that's a miserable way to live. You don't lose your ambition just because you get happy. Happiness and complacency, very different things. So yeah. I started meditating. I talked to you a lot about that off the air.
Yes, sir.
I think it's helping a little bit. It's a long road. And I guess that's my transition. It's just working on being more thankful and trying to get back to, I don't know, just being happy. I think happiness is a choice, and somewhere I stopped choosing it, and I'm trying to get back to that.
That's beautiful, man. And it is interesting. Yeah, both of us practice meditation. And when you started, was there any thought of that coming from like a space of Indianness?
Or was that just... Yes, I've wanted to do it forever, but I can't. Right. My mind is constantly going a million miles an hour.
Right.
It's brutal.
It's funny, when I started it, I mean, I always knew, obviously, it's from the Eastern tradition, but it didn't really come from, like, a space of trying to reconnect. Let me rephrase my question, though. Did it come from you trying to connect with your Indianness, or did it come from
you? The reason I did it, or I wanted to do it for a long time, not only, the main reason was it was an Indian thing.
Really?
Yeah, I knew it would help me, but I was like, it's also an Indian thing, you know what I mean? And that was a huge reason. Probably was the bigger reason.
Well, let's jump into what we really wanted to talk about. But before we do that, hey, are you clicking? Is there a clicking coming from somewhere?
Oh, that's me. I'm messing with this hand sanitizer bottle. I'll stop that.
Okay. What we really wanted to talk to, let's jump to what we wanted to talk to, which was where have we, you know, what's shifted for us? And I a lot has actually shifted for me within the realm of this podcast. And let's be honest, from the jump, you were more clear with your ideas on some of these topics than I was.
Yeah, I'm also more stubborn.
Yeah,
very
sure. I mean, yeah.
Stubbornly clear.
I mean, I think the big difference between you and I is that you are you look at things somewhat black and white, and not somewhat. I mean, you look at things pretty black and white.
Right.
I try to look at things more in the space of gray.
Right.
But for me, the biggest issue was with this idea of community and whether or not, you know, we should be advocating for a community.
Right.
And the reason that I struggled with it, I mean, I was drawn to it, obviously, because I didn't feel like I had a community. So there was a draw to, like, want that. But the reason that I was in conflict with was because the community that I came up with rejected.
Right.
And so I was like, there's this element of exclusion
right.
that really troubled me. And I was very much in conflict with. I have to be very honest with you. And I think that live panel, and this is why I love Dr. Soni, because he you know, he's really helped me understand a few things, but he was brilliant in that panel. And he said his concept of, you know, multiple overlapping identities,
that really,
and I know we talked about it, maybe we talked about it last week, but the idea of, like, you know, I'm a big fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but when I go to the stadium, like, those aren't people I would hang out with, but I'm still a part of that community, you
right.
know?
Right.
And so being a part, having a community doesn't then become a cult.
Right.
And I think that was really, really important thing. That concept has really helped me kind of reconcile that conflict, you know, the desire to want the community, but at the same time, the desire to be inclusive, you know?
Right.
And I think that where I'm learning is that we can have a community, and yes, it will exclude some people, right? Maybe. No, it will. It will exclude some people. It has to, right? But it can be incredibly inclusive within the community. And that doesn't mean that we won't still talk to people that aren't, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if I'm making much sense.
I'm going to be honest, man. Zero. But
really?
I also might have just gotten lost in it. I might be the only one. That concept hit you super hard, and you brought it up to me like last week in a car or something when I was in LA. And I was like, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I also take things very much like, I don't know, at the surface or whatever the term is. Like you said, kind of black and white. So I don't, a lot of these like really abstract concepts. I'm a very literal person, and I was like, mm-hmm. All right, yeah, cool. You can be a Clippers fan and still be Indian. That makes perfect sense. I didn't really make any connections beyond that. But in general, Dr. Sony's always amazing, and stop intruding on my man crush. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I think it sounds like we're saying the same things. I'm just saying it a little differently.
Longer?
Because you're... Yes.
All right, cool.
I was writing an email today, and I thought of you because I was like, damn, man, why is this sentence so long? Where's Akash?
For those of you who don't know, Arjun writes all the descriptions and then sends them to me, and then I just fix the grammar, and I cut up a lot of words, and then we put it out.
I mean, yeah, that's the truth. That's what happens. I think that was the big thing that shifted for me, because when I started, I think that was like, there was a question of, you know, where I stood with that. But what have you learned? What's shifted for you, if anything?
I've realized, like, I don't know what I've learned, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't know what would have shifted. I'm sure there's been subtle changes that I don't ever pick up on, because that's just kind of growing up, and that's how I always grew up. I don't realize I'm maturing or whatever, if I am. Mm-hmm. But, The experiences are so universal, and I don't mean across races, which, you know, whatever, but I mean for Indians, for South Asians. It's so many of us are self-conscious about our Hindi because our parents back home made fun of it. So many of us rejected our culture as kids, and now we're trying to come back to it. So much, mm-hmm. so many of us went through so many of the same experiences. It's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know what the larger point is. Maybe the fact that we try to act like there shouldn't be a community when so many of us have so many similar experiences. No, it doesn't make any sense. We should 100% be a community because so many of us have these same experiences.
Well, it's interesting that, like, so many of us felt so alone, you know, when we were experiencing these things that was as you said, universal amongst our community. I think that's really, you know, fascinating. And I hope that, you know, we can't do anything back frankly, we can't do anything back for the 10-year-old Arjun. You know what I mean? Right. We can't go back in time. We can't shift that. We can't. But what we can do is what we can do going forward, right? And hopefully, you know, we can start helping people think that they're not alone with these kind of situations. And we've been fortunate that we've received some emails where there is that they're seeing that, you know? Yeah. That people hearing other people's stories and hearing that what you said, I think it's hard when you feel alone with something and you feel like you're the only one doing it. It makes you feel really small.
Right.
And I think that it's so powerful to hear yourself reflected, you know, in the world. And I think that's just going to be kind of a common theme for us with this thing. I think I agree that that's been kind of...
Hey, real quick. I know I make fun of you for being long-winded a lot, but it's so powerful to see yourself reflected in the world. What a fucking sentence. Woo!
Thank you, bro.
Damn! Oh,
okay. I really thought you were going to make fun of me. I'm not going to lie.
You laid down, man. Man, ladies, Arjun Gupta BK on Twitter. You know what I mean? Get in them DMs.
Yeah, man, one of these days we'll broach DMs on this podcast, because I do not do that the way you do, and I'm not successful with them the way you are. But here's one thing we talk about. Yeah, I think that was one thing that I kind of was clear was gonna happen, right? But I think one thing that really surprised me, and one thing I learned, and one thing that's really been upsetting me over the last few weeks, man, I'm not even lying, has been the amount of abuse.
Yeah.
The amount of abuse that was in our community. And when I mentioned that earlier to you, you were not as surprised by that.
No. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know how often it happens across other races, but I know it happens in the South Asian community a lot. I don't know if it's just, I know we're going to want to say it doesn't, it happens in India all the time because those are the news stories we get told. Maybe it does, but I've been trying to think of why. Maybe a lot of Indians that are here, South Asians, come from, they are the elite in their country. In India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, wherever. They are the best of the best. Then they come here, and they're not the best of the best. First of all, the Desis in their community are all elite. Second of all, they're in a country where this is their second language. They don't have that great a command of it. They don't really have that great a command of the cultures, the way of life. So they're just kind of like, they might do well, but they don't have the same... They're not elite anymore. Now you're just a dude for the most part. And maybe that's what a lot of guys struggle with, is trying to make that adjustment. I don't know. That was the only thing I could think of. But, yeah, it does happen a lot.
Yeah, that's been – I don't know. All I know is that it just really struck me that this is a horrible thing. I mean, it sounds really trite that that's all they're saying. But, like – You know, we often talk about the things that we want to uplift and things we want to highlight about our culture, you know, especially as we're talking about cultural preservation and something. This is definitely not one of them. This is just definitely not one of them.
My main issue with that is the idea that you can't say anything because it brings shame upon the family. Mm. No. The person doing the abuse brings shame upon the family. Mm. And you know what? There's some things you should feel shame for. This idea, there's this idea in culture that you're not allowed to feel shame for anything. Like, I don't judge me. Nah, I judge that. That's one thing I think we can all comfortably say we judge, is beating kids or beating a woman because they're not as strong as us.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Oh,
that's
my
something
God.
You should feel shame for, you know?
You were doing so well, man. I was about to totally big up you and say, man, you took that ball and returned it right back at me, and then you just dropped the ball.
You got to put the humor in somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm a comic. It's how I cope. But the point is, this idea that we will bring shame upon the family, that person deserves shame. Otherwise, honestly, the only difference between us and sociopaths is they don't feel shame and remorse. That's what keeps society functioning, is a level of shame and remorse. There's certain things you don't do. You don't hit women. They're weak people.
All right. You don't hit kids.
Yeah, they're also just weak and stupid.
It's a crazy thing. And I think you're right. I think that you're right to hit on that is the aspect that maybe is maybe part of the cultural.
And maybe that's why it's more pervasive, because I'm not saying, listen, I understand. We all hear the stories of American families that go through abuse and everyone doesn't want to say anything. But I think it's a stronger thing in our culture, and maybe if it is more pervasive, maybe that's why.
I was just gonna say, I think the fact that I think my nanny used to say sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Ooh,
and
two
so,
beast sentences in this podcast.
I can't take credit for that one. That's my nanny. But it's, you know, maybe I think you're right. I think you're right in saying that that is the aspect that is particular to the South Asian, you know, experience. And not specific or singular.
I think a lot of immigrants probably go through that. I'm sure North Asian cultures has a similar thing. But it's just like, and you, I don't think you should want to just call out everything. I understand there's some level of privacy, but the point at which you're not telling anybody, and you, we have an interview that's going to air later where they're winding up in the hospital, and it's just like, listen, I understand you want to be private, but let's try to work on not being so secretive that we could end up dead.
And listen, and there's something to be said for, like, but what's remarkable about that is that they can't even go to other members of the community.
Right.
It's one thing to not go to the police, right? Let's say I understand some aspect of, like, not trusting the police or not trusting something. But you, within, like, family, friends, or cousins, or, and you can't talk about it, or the cousins are seeing it, and this is another thing that we got to talk about. The cousins seeing something wrong and then being quiet because it's happening in another person's family.
Yeah.
No, and, that's not okay either.
Yeah, and again, I do think that happens across every culture. And also, let me real quick just say as a disclaimer, I'm not trying to judge anybody or tell you how you should. I got family members that have gone through similar things, and I didn't say anything, but, like, we need to get better as a group about this.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think that was a kind of, and maybe it was just, you know, an entitled privilege that I was naive to this because I grew up in a family where that was, I mean, to be honest, my father never laid a hand on any of, like, never. My mother was the one that would, like, you know, she would smack us, but nothing abusive, you know what I mean? Right. She was just, you know, but it was never, you know, I guess that was my fortune, but that's been really, it's really been disheartening. Truthfully,
you know what I'm learning? No matter what race you are, if you have a healthy family structure with, like, a healthy model of love, and you are the 1%. I don't mean financially, but I mean, like, in actual wealth, you are the 1%.
Yeah, it makes life a lot easier, man.
And it's rare. It's really rare.
Why? Why is that? Why is that becoming so rare? Why?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think a lot of people, and I was talking to a friend about, maybe I might have said this on here too, but, like, why relationships are so crazy and there's so many games and this and that. And I think it's two things. One, we're all afraid of getting hurt because once it happens once, it doesn't, you don't want it to happen again. So you put your guard up, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And two, I think so few of us had a healthy model of love from our parents that you're just like, well, this is probably not going to end well. So let me protect myself at all costs. I don't know how you fix it. That's just an observation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. I mean, I think it's, I don't know how to fix it either. But I think it's important that we bring it to attention, you know? Let's let some sunlight in. I think it's interesting that, you know, you talk about healthy model of love. And I don't know how personal you want to get, but I'll go. My parents had a really, they have now an incredibly healthy model of love. I think one thing that happened, and it's part of this earlier point, they never let us see them fight.
You think that was good or bad?
You know, I don't know if it was good. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I do know that it made it a little bit difficult for me as I gotten older to know how I could fight in relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it made it a little bit more difficult for me to, when you talk about modeling relationships, you know, they had this kind of, I won't say perfect, but, like, everything was always cool, you know, because we just never see them. We never saw them fight.
Right.
So it became hard when I was in a relationship. If there was any fight, like, it became like, oh, this is
fragile. What the hell is
fragile.
Going on? Yeah, everything is falling apart.
Was there anything else that surprised you in any of our interviews?
I don't know. I think the only thing, like I said, that surprised me was just how universal my experience was in terms of rejecting culture, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think it would be that universal because I would say it to a lot of people and I'd never get anything back. And then when you let people open up on their own on, like, an interview, all of a sudden this just becomes like a super common theme.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, it was interesting. It's been, I'm so glad that we talked to people outside of the Desi community.
Right.
As well, and especially when we talk to first-generation immigrants, because this is, again, something that I knew, but it goes back to that thing that I love talking about, through the specific, we see the universal. It's also nice to know that, like, oh, shit, this stuff is also universal in different cultures, you know, and different things. Yeah, I don't know. That's just fun to see. Where do you want to go from here? We're talking about the state of the podcast. Yeah. What are you thinking that you want to examine more? Is there anything that you're like, hey, man, I really want us to start thinking about this?
I don't have particular things I want us to start thinking about. I didn't know. We talked about this earlier, too. What did you want to get out of this? I didn't know specifically what I wanted to get out of this. I just knew if we're doing a podcast, this is what it needed to be about. What I want to get out of it is the same thing I wanted before, I think. If anything, it's like, let's just build a community. I don't know if that was initially it, but it became that very quickly. But I want this community to actually be like a thing. Because I still think there's a ton of Indians who just don't have any pride, or South Asians, in being who they are. And there's a growing number who do, but there's a huge number who don't.
I think for me, I want to keep exploring what we define as Indian or South Asian, or like, you know, for Bangladeshi. I want to define what they mean when they say, like, Bangladeshi American. Like, what does that Bangladeshi mean? How does it manifest? Like, what are those values? You know, I'm always I want to explore more of that.
That's
for me.
Fair.
I think that's something that's interesting. And then I want to know, I'm realizing more and more, especially when we talk to these younger kids, that the culture that, when we talk about culture, what we're talking about now is it's a different culture.
Yeah.
And Neethu's talked about this, but it's a different culture. We are not, this isn't an Indian culture. This isn't a Nepalese culture. It's not Pakistani culture. It's not that. We have a different culture. And I think it's really, I don't know. I'd like to keep talking about what we want that, what that culture is at this moment, at what we continue to want it to be, because, you know, that's the exciting things where, you know, 65, right? That's when the immigration really started to happen. And so it's 50 years now. It's 50 years at this moment.
Right.
But not everybody was having kids right at that moment. So, you know, think 40 years. That was the situation.
That's,
you know,
how old we are, 50 years.
Yeah, as a community. And I think it's really interesting, Father, like, what is that culture going to be? Like, what do we want it to be something different? You know what I mean?
I always thought of it as, and you've brought this up a lot, but I always thought of it as, like, this is what India used to idealize. I don't know if it was that, but this is what Indian culture or South Asian culture used to be in its ideal form. Work hard, etc. You know what I mean? You know, love your spouse like Bollywood, but the ideal, all the stuff we swept under the rug isn't there, but all the stuff we, like, openly were about. Nobody really parties that hard. You know what I mean? We love each other. We're giving, whatever. Like, all these things that our parents taught us that India is kind of losing in a lot of ways. I wish I could enumerate more, but that's all I got. But just those kinds of things.
That's for you, the Indian values?
Culture we were crafting. Is like it's like Indian values, but not the India that India is becoming necessarily.
Yeah, but when you talk about that, that sounds like you're ignoring the American influence, though.
I don't think I think it's impossible to ignore the, I mean, we're not going to be Indians. We're not going to be that.
Right. But I think it's important that while we're talking about those values that we want to bring over, those cultural aspects that we want to bring over, we also talk about the American aspects that we want to keep. I mean, listen, there are American values that are in conflict with our Indian values. And we, you know, not, sometimes we have to choose. Sometimes we can reconcile them, right? Those two things. But I think it's important to talk about, you know, both of them. Like, okay, you know, I had this really interesting conversation with my, you know, a friend of mine who was getting married. And, you know, I told them, you know, this was years ago. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I said, you know, for me, if my potential wife has an issue with one of my parents coming to live with us, that'd be a deal breaker.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now we have couples that are marrying interracially, right? Who don't necessarily come from that culture. How do you navigate that, right? Now in India, that's much easier to navigate because it's pretty much standard across the board. Like, it's expected, it's what you do. And listen, there's some, you know, someone said that, you know, once you get married and have kids, that becomes your family and not the one above. Now, to me, that's a crazy small idea of family. I think of a family as a more expansive idea. So that's where I disagree with it. But, you know, there are other points about that issue. And it is an interesting, you know, that can create friction and conflict and something that you have to navigate, you know? So I think that that's, you know, I'm interested to talk about that kind of stuff, you know?
You know what I would actually like to explore is,
yeah,
historically, why have South Asians always been so quick to assimilate, almost eager to assimilate completely and fully and leave everything behind? What is that? Where did
Can
that
I throw this out as an idea?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just coming out. But it's always been a conquered land.
Interesting.
Until 47.
Right.
Interesting. I mean, the Mughal Empire was happening, and then it was the Ottoman Empire before that. I mean, it was the Greeks, then the Mughals, which I got to be honest, I'm ignorant to tell you where exactly the Mughals, you know, emigrated from.
Immigrated.
Whatever. Where they immigrated from. So I don't really know exactly, but it was definitely an other than the subcontinent, right? And then it was the Brits. Then it was England. I mean, this is my very, you know, I might be missing some pockets of history there, but that's the grand sweep of it over the last, you know, 1,000 years.
More importantly, actually, than where did it come from, why are we still doing this? Why is this such a big deal for us to assimilate completely and leave everything behind? Mala's parents never spoke, was it Bangladeshi, to her
Bengali.
Kids. Bengali. No, she was... That's my bad. She never spoke Bengali to her kids because she's like, well, we're in America now. And I get that to a degree, but that seems like such a common thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a fun thing that we can definitely keep exploring. I think that it's a pretty common experience amongst everyone. And I think that it's the core of, like, the conflict with cultural preservation and how much should we be doing? Should we be doing any of that? The last thing I want to talk about, because I don't really know where we're at time-wise, but we're probably wrapping pretty much close to where we should end this. I want to who you want to talk to?
Oh, I want to talk to, I don't know how to put this, not crass. I want to talk to less successful Indians, South Asians, whatever. I mean, it's great to always be talking to a leader in this field, or Gautam Chopra, or Dr. Soni, who I have a huge man crush on, one more time. But I want to talk to somebody who's struggling, who's here, who's just like working at a fruit stand. And what's crazy is when we reach out to these people, they're the least receptive to it. They're the stories that would be the most interesting, maybe because a lot of them don't have a great command of the English language, but they seem the least receptive to it. And then once a week, we get an email from some useless fucking idiot who wants to be on the podcast, and no one cares what you think. Buddy, oh when you God. Don't laugh, it seems so much worse when I say this.
I know.
Honestly, you gotta figure out that there's roles here. I'm the one that says the ignorant things. You laugh to acknowledge their ignorance. God,
I'm tired.
Damn it.
I'm tired. Say that again. Don't say the joke, though. Just cut the joke.
All right. Well, you know, I gotta do all kinds of editing. Yeah. I'm gonna keep that laughing, though. I'm gonna just cut out everything until that laugh. You know what I mean?
I'm speculating here, and this is probably dangerous, but whatever. I wonder if there is a concern that they will be shamed because they are not as successful.
I mean, I guess, but how much family they got that's really listening, you know what I mean?
I mean, hopefully everyone. I want to talk to a psychiatrist. I do. I was talking about that.
My cousin's
a
psychiatrist. Shouts.
Yeah, and I think
it was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Kanishk.
What up? We should definitely talk to maybe one, maybe two. I would love to talk to a South Asian psychiatrist, maybe one that's not, you know, to get different perspectives. But I would love to talk to that about, you know, not only the abuse, but like this shame that seems to be quite pervasive in our culture. And then I wanted to talk to. I mean, I was struck by that, you know, the 50 years young thing, you know, as a community. We're really early. And I know that there are professors, I don't know if they're sociologists or anthropologists, that study culture and, like, the formation of culture. But I think it'd be really fascinating to talk to someone at this moment, you know, about, you know, who would be able to talk about, like, well, this is what's happening right now, you know?
Right.
I think that could be really... That would be really nerdy fun for me.
All right, I'm into that. Guys, thank you for listening. I know it's been a good few months. We really do appreciate the feedback that we get. We're probably going to do this every few months just to check in where we are. And hopefully you enjoyed it. Let us know whether you did or did not. You know where you can tweet us at American Desis. Instagram at American Deities Podcast, website AmericanDeitiesPodcast.com, and tell them about iTunes, Arjun.
We are on iTunes, and we're also on Audioboom. We're really excited that we have that partnership. They're actually exploring opening an Audioboom India and starting that, and that would be really exciting from a standpoint of, you know, getting to connect more with that audience as well. But I do want to stress, you know, what Akash just said about feedback. Listen, one of the reasons that I wanted to do this was to let you guys get a little peek behind the curtain about what we're thinking when we're creating this podcast. And so we want you guys to, you know, we open this up so that you guys can give feedback and think like, oh, well, we're open to ideas of what we can do with this, because at the end of the day, we're doing this, you know, for all of us. So please do, you know, feel free to hit us up and feel you will definitely be heard.
A lot of words.
I didn't know what that sigh was.
What is that?
I thought that was another compliment, but it wasn't. Guys, we're going to catch you on Monday. We're going to be back with our regular schedule. We're going to drop an episode and then discussion a few days later. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
Oh.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.